Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. In post-World War II America, after the defeat of fascist Europe and Japan, the ultra-right operated undercover. Klansmen wore hoods, and neo-Nazis were reviled by the mainstream. But recently, especially in the years leading up to the election of Donald Trump, the ultra-right has reemerged as a significant, recognizable group. And under self-proclaimed leaders like Richard Spencer, they have redubbed themselves the alt-right. But what is the alt-right? Who are its members and what do they want? Alt-right, Age of Rage, the new documentary that looks at the rise of this group, which culminated in the notoriously violent torchlit rally in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017. The movie follows neo-Nazis like Spencer and their encounters with anti-fascist protesters like Daryl Lamont Jenkins. The film was directed by Adam Balalo. Lowe is known for documenting fringe political groups, both left, right, and other. Alt-right Age of Rage has its Canadian debut at Hot Docs, and I'm very pleased to have director Adam Balalo here in studio to tell us more about the film. Hi, Adam.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So let's just start. What is the alt-right and how does it differ from, say, white nationalists, white supremacists, neo-Nazis, groups like that?
Well, you know, going into this project, like you said in the intro, really my idea was to try and figure out what is the alt-right, who are they, and what do they want? So around the time Donald Trump started to get popular, 9 or 10 months before the before Election Day, we were hearing a lot about the alt-right, this new group, political movement, was it, maybe? We didn't know. At the time, there was an idea amongst the mainstream that the alt-right was an alternative to the right-wing party. It was an alternative to conservatism. It was something for young people who wanted to reject traditional conservatism that they found to be stodgy and boring and dull. There was very little mention of white supremacy. So I began to research it, and in starting to research it and sort of pick apart what it, you know, what truly is the alt-right, the first thing I discovered was Antifa. And when I met Daryl Lamont Jenkins, Daryl told me all this is the alt-right, all it is KKK 2.0. They've traded in the white hoods for MAGA hats. And
that's Make America Great Again.
The red Make America Great Again hat. And that was his notion of it. So in the year documenting it, in the year following Richard Spencer and Jared Taylor and other members of the so-called alt-right, what I have concluded is that you cannot separate the alt-right from identity, from notions of white identity. If you want to believe that the alt-right is not about white identity, you are wrong. That is exactly what the alt-right is. It is what separates it from other political movements. At the beginning, we weren't fully aware of that. Like, is this something a little more innocuous? Is it just sort of, you know, an alternative to Republicanism in mainstream conservatism because it's boring and dull? The answer is no. You cannot separate the alt-right from white identity. It is a white nationalist movement that
white supremacists
that
too,
definitely obviously stretches the bounds of white supremacy as well. Now, there are members of the alt-right who will say they are not white supremacists, and that is debatable. There is no debate that it is not about white nationalism and white identity. So let's just get that off the table. Get that on the table first.
So one of the people who is in your film the most is Richard Spencer. Now he's maybe more widely known as the punching bag in Punch a Nazi, but he is the I believe he said he coined the term alt-right, although more than one person has said that, and he holds extreme right-wing views. What was it like to meet him, and can you give some impressions of him?
Well, I met Richard at an interesting time in his life and an interesting time in the movement. When we first came into contact, it was right after Donald Trump had won the election. And so Richard and other members of the alt-right were feeling extremely emboldened. It's a very different landscape right now for them at post-Charlottesville. They're reeling. Like a boxer in a ring who's just been knocked out and is kind of getting back on his feet.
So for people who haven't heard, can you just very quickly talk about Charlottesville, what happened and why it signaled a big change?
Right. So Charlottesville there was a rally there. There were Confederate statues that were being removed from a park. And neo-Confederates in Virginia did not want these statues taken down. So they rallied together, and the rally built steam over a couple months. And people, white nationalists and neo-Confederates and anti-Semites and even some straight-up neo-Nazis all came from all over the country to rally behind these statues.
Unite the Right.
It was called the Unite the Right rally. That's right. And they had no idea that the counter-protest was going to be so formidable at this rally. So neither side was really prepared for what was going to happen. But the most unprepared were the Charlottesville police, who we found later, and there was a third-party survey of the whole rally and the tragedy that was done by an independent company, discovered later that the Charlottesville police, they really botched this protest.
And it culminated in the death of an anti-fascist protester.
Yeah, an anti-fascist protester. A member of Vanguard America, a white supremacist organization based in Ohio, I believe, came to the rally and drove a car through the protest, injuring 17 people, killing one young lady in her 20s, and then in a separate tragedy hours later, Virginia State troopers in a helicopter trying to get to the rally to save people crashed and both died. So there were actually three fatalities in this rally. Charlottesville changed everything. It really became a lightning rod for discussion of the alt-right. Previous to that, it was, you know, there were a lot of think pieces, you know, it was kind of like a trending term. After that, basically every single politician, Republican and Democrat, denounced the alt-right in the wake, with the exception of Donald Trump.
Bad people on both sides, yeah. That are good people on both sides. So in the film, you give extensive, uninterrupted airtime to people like Richard Spencer. Do you worry about providing a mainstream, accessible platform for someone like this? Does it, by featuring him, allowing him to have his say, is that normalizing him and his movement to the general public?
Well, this is a controversial topic at the moment. Like, are we normalizing white supremacy by talking about it? And, you know, I think there's two things I would say to that. The first would be that for those who haven't seen the film, that this isn't just white supremacists going on their soapbox. Everything they're saying in the film is countered by a counter argument from those on the left, be it Antifa or the SPLC, the NAACP. So
Southern Poverty,
the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is an advocacy group, civil rights organization in the South. So their views are being countered. There is a counter argument. It's not just, InfoWars, just like an unfettered, alt-right guy just railing on and on without anybody fact-checking him or her. But with that said, I've still received a lot of blowback that even having these views out there are normalizing it or it's wrong. I fundamentally disagree with this notion, and I guess my first response is that coming from my viewpoint as a person of color, I need to hear these things. I need to know what is being said. We need it out on the table so that it can be addressed. It can be discussed. I don't think that hiding our heads in the sand and pretending this stuff isn't happening is going to be doing our society a favor. The fact is that the alt-right has been emboldened by the election of Donald Trump and has come in full force out to the surface. But they were always there. In fact, they were growing stronger and stronger during the 8 years of Obama, but they were hibernating. They could not come out in public with these views, but they were still there. And now we're seeing them, and we need to hear them. We need to hear what they're saying, and we need to have discussion. I'm not in favor of no platforming. I don't think that that's helpful, and that's just me.
Adam Balolo, we were talking about his film Alt-Right Age of Rage. As a person of color, speaking to people like Spencer and Jenkins, who are fundamentally white supremacist and against miscegenation, like against any mix of the races, they would say, how did you personally feel when you encountered them, when you spoke with them?
Well, I mean, I'm a strange dude. Like, it's ever since I was a kid, I've always been interested in people whose views run counter to mine. I think that, I'm sort of in a weird way attracted to fringe people and fringe beliefs. And instead of, running from it, I want to know more. I want to hear more about it. And I'm a curious person.
But I'm more wondering the impressions you got of their reaction to you,
right,
and who you are. Were they totally – that never came up? They never
– That well, it's interesting you mentioned that because Jared Taylor actually made a point of telling me that Asians are smarter than even whites. So, because he has this hierarchy that he's created of IQ, and Asians, and I'm South Asian, half South Asian, half white. Asians are smarter than whites. So he was kind of telling me that, like, oh, you're one of the smart ones.
Jenkins was born in Japan.
Jared.
Jared, sorry.
Yeah, Jared Taylor.
Jared Taylor. That's
right. Jared Taylor. Yeah, Jared is, he's a white man that spent a considerable amount of his life in Japan because his father was worked overseas. So he speaks fluent Japanese, and look, he's a white nationalist, and he's done a lot he's had a huge influence within the white power scene because he's created this conference and this magazine, American Renaissance. He considers himself to be a dangerous thinker.
Okay.
But he's also, he's a fascinating individual.
He's sort of well-spoken but oleaginous in his tone.
These are strangely, these are people that I'm interested in talking to. I maybe it's because my life is pretty boring outside of the filmmaking that, I've worked with strange people my whole life, documenting them.
Well, thanks so much for telling us about it. Adam Bolalo's new film, Alt-Right, Age of Rage. It's playing at 3:45 at the Hot Dog Cinema today. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.